Welcome to the Daily Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University. Today, BJU President Steve Pettit brings a message entitled, Choose Your Friends Wisely, from Proverbs chapter 13.
I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 13. In just a few moments, as we get into our message, we'll come and look at the verse. I'm rejoicing this morning in the knowledge that there were people in the student body last night who trusted Jesus as their personal Savior. And whether it's one or 100 or 1,000, if the angels are shouting in heaven, then we can do a little shouting on earth. And so let's continue to pray for God's grace to be manifested in hearts, especially in the lives of students who may not be sure of where they stand in their relationship with God. And I hope that you will come to an experience of the peace and the joy and the assurance that comes by knowing that you're saved. This summer, my wife and I took a two-week vacation. Part of our vacation was doing something my wife had said to me a number of years ago, and we felt like this summer would be the best summer, and that was to take an Alaskan cruise. We had a great time together. It was 1 week on this ship, and the boat was huge. It was 16 stories tall, almost 1,000 feet long. Now, I don't know how you think, but because of the nature of my responsibilities in life now, I think about things like, what would it be like to have to run this boat? You know, there's 3,500 passengers and 1,200 people who work on the boat. And one of the things that captured my attention was how smooth the captain was in navigating this huge ship. For example, we came into a port one morning and docked there. And when I walked outside on the deck, I realized we were already there, and I didn't even know that the ship had been docked, because you didn't feel any kind of movement, any kind of shakiness that you would normally feel as you dock the boat. So I got to thinking, what would happen if the captain didn't navigate the ship so well? For example, he came a little too fast into the port and he hit the dock. What would it do to the dock? Crumble it. And imagine what would happen if you have 4,500 people on board the boat and have to understand that a lot of the people are old. Can you figure it out? Think about it. You know, maybe 100 people got thrown out of bed. No big deal. It's just 100 out of 4,500. Broken hips, broken necks, arms, concussions. And then we went up to a place called Glacier Bay. It was stunningly beautiful. And then at the end of the bay, actually, the boat turns around 360 degrees. And it turns around, oh, I didn't count it, maybe three or four times. And I got to thinking, well, what if he turned a little too fast? And the centrifugal force was of such a nature that bodies go flying off the boat. Those are the things that go through my mind. And I thought, it is very obvious that the captain of this ship knows how to navigate the boat very, very well. Well, the Bible has a word to describe the person who learns how to navigate their life well. And that person is described as a wise person. And the book of Proverbs was specifically written to help young people learn how to navigate their lives, or learning how to be wise. And the idea of navigating your life well presupposes that life is made up of thousands of choices, and choices that are often difficult and very complicated. And your choices don't just affect you, they affect the people around you or the people that are connected to you. That is, your decisions and your choices have definite consequences. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is learning how to make right choices, how to skillfully navigate your life. For example, how do you handle your problems? How do you avoid problems? How do you deal with difficult people or uncomfortable situations? How do you handle your emotions, your feelings at the time? How do you speak to someone? How do you react? How do you interpret the words of people or the writings of people in order to respond correctly to what they are saying? All of these have to do with wisdom issues, and it should be obvious to all of us that wisdom is more than being smart. Because I know a lot of smart people who have done a lot of stupid things. So wisdom is being skillful in making choices, and choices that properly reflect the righteous character of God. So, who needs wisdom the most? Well, maybe you're ready to raise your hand and say, I do. But specifically, Proverbs tells us that there is a certain person who really needs wisdom. And who is that person? It is a person who is simple. And when we speak of simple, we're not talking about somebody who is wise or somebody who is foolish. Who are the simple? Well, in the book of Proverbs, it says that they are people who are young and they are inexperienced in decision making. For example, have you ever noticed that when you look to apply for a job, they want somebody with experience? The simple are those who can do dumb things, but that's really not the focus of being simple, because it's not intended to be a negative word. When you call somebody simple, that's really not negative. It's a word of reality. It is what it is. You're simple. Why? Because you're young. You're inexperienced. You haven't fully made up your mind about certain things. You're in a process. You're in a place where you can be easily influenced or swayed. Therefore, you're a bit immature. But the positive thing about being simple is that you are teachable and you are willing to listen. So, I think it would be appropriate here to say that for many of you, you are in that category where you are moving along the pathway to wisdom. You are growing in your knowledge of God, and you're growing in your experience with God. So, question then is, how do you get wisdom? Well, when you read the book of Proverbs, it's just not one way to get wisdom. There are lots of different things, the attitudes of a wise person and all of that. But this morning, I'd like us to focus our attention on one simple verse, which is one important step to becoming a wise person, and it definitely applies directly to you right now, today. And what is that? It's in the way that you choose your friends. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, and notice what the writer says. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's a definite fact. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, a few general thoughts about this verse. First of all, I think the primary target audience of this proverb is towards those who are simple, those who are in the process of choosing friends. He that walks with wise people will be wise, and a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, it's a statement of fact, is something that's going to happen, but I think it's being written to people that are young, that are simple. I don't think the author here is addressing a wise person or a fool, because they've already made up their minds about their friends. So he is speaking to those who are in the process of making decisions. And let me say to you, and I will repeat this, that the greatest influence in your college years are the friends that you choose. Much more than your parents, it's your peers. In high school, you lived with your parents and you visited your friends. In college, you live with your friends and you visit your parents. So he is speaking to those who are in the place where you're easily influenced, slightly gullible, not fully aware of the consequences of your choices because you haven't lived long enough to see that, especially regarding friendships. There's a second general thought I want to say about this verse, and that is, he is saying that both virtues and vices are communicable. Think about it. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. That is, if you hang with the wise, it's actually going to communicate wisdom to you. That's pretty cool to me. If I hang with the wise, there's something going to happen to me. I'm going to become wise. But if I hang out with the fools, something's going to happen to me. It says that I will be destroyed. That doesn't mean you're killed. It means essentially it affects and ruins your character. Paul says bad company ruins good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. So what does it tell me? Vices and virtues are communicable. A Spanish proverb says, he that runs with wolves learns to howl. An English proverb says it this way, he that lies down with dogs shall rise up with fleas. So who you hang with is going to affect you. You cannot choose how people will influence you. You cannot do that. You can only choose the people that you will allow to influence you. And then there's a third general thought about this verse, and that is simply that like attracts like. People are attracted to those who are like them. You've heard the statement, birds of a feather flock together. People who are drawn to you describe something about you. So who do you attract? No doubt the spiritual are drawn to the spiritual. The critics are drawn to the critics. The cynics hang with cynics. Manure draws flies. It's a fact. So, how do you spot a wise person and how do you discern someone who is a fool? Well, when we meet somebody for the first time, it's just human nature. We want to know, well, what's that person like? If you were to meet a wise person or a fool, what would they be like? And to me, it's very interesting that in the book of Proverbs, both wisdom and folly are personified. That is, a wise person is called Lady Wisdom, and a fool is called Woman Folly. And what's interesting is that both of them have an audience. Their audience are young men. And specifically, these are simple young men, immature, lacking in judgment, still in the process of development on the path of life. And both women, wise and foolish, Lady Wisdom and Woman Fool, are trying to win them over. So you have to understand that in life, there's always a pull towards the wise and there's always a pull towards the fool. So the question then is, what's their appeal? And what's very interesting is that they have, in essence, the same appeals, same basic appeals. And I'm not going to read it this morning. It's in Proverbs chapter 9. I would encourage you to go and read it yourself as you see how the personification comes out. But two things about Lady Wisdom and Woman Fool. Number one, they both have homes in high places. High places in ancient times were places of worship. Therefore, there's a spirituality about the both of them. The difference is wisdom worships Jehovah and folly worships idols. Wisdom fears God and obeys his commands. A wise person is a person of the word. They fill their hearts, their minds, their lives with the word, and they strive to live in submission and obedience to those commands. That's wisdom. But what about a fool? Well, a fool worships idols, and those idols appeal to lustful desires. All you have to do is go back and study ancient and idolatry, and every idol was basically a personification of man's human desires, his lustful desires. And so therefore, oftentimes in worship of idolatry, they were also engaged in immorality and sin. So basically, a wise person lives to please God, and a foolish person lives to please themselves. So the first thing is that they both have high places. Secondly, they both invite you to dine with them. And in the Middle East, if you ate with someone, it means that you are entering into a deep personal relationship with that person. Both invitations are the same. I have a meal prepared for you. Come and eat with me. Both women, Lady Wisdom and Woman Fool, want an intimate relationship with young men. And their meals are enticing, sumptuous, and tasty. However, there is a clear difference to what happens to them when they dine with these women. What happens to the young man when he eats with Woman Folly? Well, when you read the scripture, everyone who eats with her dies. Can you imagine that? Going out on a date with a girl and every guy that dates her dies? She dated three people last week and there were three funerals. Go figure. Idolatry promises blessing, but it only leads to the grave. She kills them all. Folly and foolishness leads to death. Well, what about Lady Wisdom? Well, everybody that dines with her, all of her guests experience life, peace, and great rewards. So let me ask you a question. Who would you choose to dine with? Trimper Longman, who wrote an outstanding book on the book of Proverbs, said this: all of us who read Proverbs, even if we are a woman or an older man, find ourselves in the sandal of the young male reader, confronted by the decision whether we will embrace Lady Wisdom or Woman Folly. This is the ultimate decision of the book. Wisdom and foolishness is manifested in the decisions that you make. So, let me conclude this morning with a few thoughts. First of all, in regards to choosing friendships, especially right now as a student at Bob Jones University, there are tons of young people here who you can make great friends with. That's one of the beauties of the school. I went to a secular college. I was saved my freshman year of school. The most important decision that I made after I was saved was to change my friendships. And I actually limited my friendships because I chose the most spiritual guys on campus and we became best friends. And they had a positive and a powerful influence in my life in such a way that I would not be where I am today without them. And today we are still very close and still very connected. When I came to Bob Jones University, I did the same thing. I was a grad school student, but I became friends with both grad students and undergrad. There were probably about 5 to 7 guys that we hung with. We prayed together. We went to church together. We were involved in ministry together. On Saturday mornings, we would meet off campus, and there was a man that lived here that I knew, and behind his house, he had a barn, and upstairs in the barn, he had an office, and he had another room that was carpeted. It was heated, and there was no furniture in it, and so he allowed us to go there for a prayer meeting. So every Saturday morning, we met for a prayer meeting, and it started at 5 a.m., and it ran to 8 a.m. How many of you would go to a prayer meeting on Saturday at 5 a.m.? And the first hour, we would read our Bibles. The second hour, we would preach to each other. And the third hour, we would pray together. We were really spiritual. We called the place the upper room. Afterwards, we would go out and eat breakfast. And then on Saturday morning, the rest of Saturday morning, we were engaged in ministry opportunities through the local church we were working and serving in here in Greenville. Man, those are precious, precious days. And here we are now, some 36 years later, 38 years later, and when I see all those guys, we always refer back to those glorious times that we experienced together as students here. There are lots and lots and lots of people here that you have an opportunity to make good friends with who can actually influence you. Iron sharpens iron. But let me say, secondly, that there are some young people here that you should be careful about. When I was first introduced to Bob Jones University and I was in college at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina, I was invited up here and I met a group of young people and I hung out with them over the weekend. Now, I was a little bit naive, to be frankly honest with you. I came to Bob Jones. It's a Christian university. I'm in a secular school, so I think everybody here is spiritual. But I noticed that they really didn't talk about God when I was with them. And I thought that was a bit odd because I figured everybody at a Christian university talks about God all the time. So I decided not to get too close. Friendly, kind, but a little bit keeping my distance. And I recall that two of them were later dismissed from Bob Jones because of immorality. And I learned that in every school, there are fools. Now, I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but there are some fools that are here. And you need to be wise. They're going to do foolish things, okay? And they're going to do things that are inappropriate, that are unwise. And the wisest thing for you to do is to be careful about who you choose as your friends. Let me also say this, that there are some of you, no doubt, who in the past have made foolish choices. I was telling Mr. Buter today as we were sitting here on the platform, and I said, you know, isn't it a wonderful thing that God gives you at least 4 years in college to mature and grow and sort of overcome some things? Aren't you glad God is patient with you? Aren't you glad that the one mistake you made last year or whatever happened last year can actually be overcome today? The door is always opened to Lady Wisdom's house. And so if in the past you have walked in a way that is foolish or in a wrong direction, thank God you can turn around because the simple are still open to change. And so let me charge you this morning to be wise about the friends that you choose, that you pray about it, and you say, Lord, help me to be in relationship with people who we can mutually encourage one another towards Christ. I think most of us realize that modern day storytelling is through movies. We have replaced the campfire with the screen. And we all know that movies, by and large, are not reality, but they can teach some real truths. In the film Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, there is a quest for the Holy Grail. The idea is if you drink the water from the cup, you will live forever. Well, when the location of the Grail is discovered, it is in a chamber that is guarded by an ancient knight, and the chamber is filled with all kinds of cups and chalices. Only one was the Holy Grail. If you drank from any others, you would die. Well, Indiana Jones arrives in the chamber where the Grail is located, and then suddenly his adversary, Donovan, arrives with a woman named Elsa. Donovan has a gun, and he doesn't allow Indiana Jones to drink first. Rather, Donovan wants to be first. But he makes a big mistake. He lets Elsa choose the cup for him. It is a jewel-encrusted golden chalice, and he drinks the water, only to find out that she gave him the wrong cup. And suddenly, he ages rapidly and explodes into dust. And then the camera focuses on the face of the old knight who apathetically states, "He chose poorly." Let me encourage you to choose your friends wisely. He that walketh with the wise will be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Father, we thank you for your promises from your word. We thank you for the principles of Proverbs that teach us to walk carefully and discreetly and to show discretion. I pray for every young person here that you will help them to make wise choices about choosing wise friends. And then help those, Lord, that are on the pathway to wisdom to encourage those who are simple to walk with them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you for listening to The Daily Platform. If you're looking for a regionally accredited Christian liberal arts university, I invite you to visit our campus and see how God is working in the lives of our students. For more information about Bob Jones University, visit www.bju.edu or call 800-252-6363.